You know, a lot of people would disagree with what I'm doing right now. Not creating a podcast, but creating a podcast completely unrelated to any other topic that I'm doing for my other social media pages. Like my Instagram, I want to be a travel Instagram, and my YouTube the same. I want to be a travel YouTuber. But this, I want my podcast to be solely based off mental health. Because I feel like mental health in the world today is still very stigmatized. And, you know, more and more people are addressing it and, you know, opening up about it. But I feel like the people that don't experience it still don't understand it. And they never will fully understand it unless they go through it. But a lot of people still don't accept it. They still don't accept it as fact. And, you know, I find that very unfortunate because, you know, I've gone through a lot of mental health issues myself, and I'll go ahead and address that in this first episode so people can, you know, kind of relate and, you know, see that I'm not just some guy who doesn't understand it trying to empathize. I'm, you know, a guy who's been through it. So for me, I was diagnosed with GAD, general anxiety disorder, my senior year of high school. Now, I think I was wrongly diagnosed. I think I actually have panic disorder, which is slightly different. I have, you know, really bad panic attacks from time to time. Sometimes it'll be for weeks at a time. I just have consistent ones, and they get progressively worse. Sometimes it's just sporadic and they're short. Sometimes, you know, it's a night randomly out of nowhere. You know, it's really tough to gauge. It just kind of happens. So I'll go ahead and tell you my story of how it started and how my journey from that point to this point has been. So currently I am 21 years old. I graduated high school in June of 2016. So it's been almost 3 years. And, you know, so I've been dealing with this for a little over three years now. So it was, I specifically remember the first time I ever had a panic attack. It was post-prom, and we were getting on the bus to head back to the school. It was probably 4 a.m, and I just remember that being the longest bus ride of my life. As soon as we got on that bus, I started to really struggle to breathe. I didn't know why. I had no clue why. I started to get really lightheaded. I started to feel really dizzy. I couldn't get enough air. My heart was pumping really fast. And the only explanation in my head is that something was seriously wrong. Like, I needed to go to the hospital. That was in my head. That was what I was thinking. So that whole bus ride, I'm sitting there, and the person next to me, his name was RJ, was just trying to help me calm down, trying to make sure I was going to be all right. And he didn't understand what was going on either. So, you know, I called my dad at 3:30, 4 a.m, and I asked him to pick me up from the high school when I got back there because I didn't want to drive. And so he came and picked me up, and I was still, you know, struggling really bad. I got back to the house, and I ended up having to take half a Xanax to be able to fall asleep because it was just, I was miserable. I was so scared. And I didn't understand what was happening. And for the next few days, you know, I continued to experience the same thing until eventually I went to see a doctor, and they put me on some medication. And even that took a few weeks to kick in. So, you know, that wasn't fun. That was really bad. It was scary. I think it was as bad as it was because I didn't know what was going on. I had never experienced it before. So it was a new experience. And I didn't understand it. As time went on, you know, I learned to live with anxiety. And, you know, I stopped taking my medication after a while because I started to get better. And life started to, you know, feel somewhat normal again. And it continued to feel normal with, you know, random panic attacks here and there. Random stretches that were worse than others. But nothing crazy. Until about August of 2017. When I left for Air Force basic training. So I went down there, and for the first couple of weeks, things were going pretty smooth. And then I was in class one day, and we were learning about, I don't even remember, because all I know is I had this hot flash, that came over me, this just absolute heat wave, and I just couldn't think straight. You know, my head felt like it was swelling. I was in, like, pain. I was scared. I thought I was going to pass out. It was miserable. So from there, you know, the next week or so was just absolutely miserable. I couldn't sleep. I was getting maybe 2-3 hours of sleep a night, and with, you know, the heat and the water, that I wasn't getting enough water, and the water quality wasn't great. And I was in San Antonio, Texas, which is like, you know, summer, it was like 100 degrees every day. You know, things, I wasn't making things any better. So it was pretty bad. And I eventually went to go see, you know, the doctor there. And once I talked to him, they decided it was best for me to go home. And man, that feels like so long ago now. And thankfully it does, because it's not the best of memories. Because I was extremely scared. I truly thought I was dying. And truth be told, I think by the time I left, I was a borderline hypochondriac, if not full-fledged hypochondriac. I truly thought I was dying. I truly thought I had a brain tumor. You know, I didn't understand what was happening. It was the worst experience of my life. And so I went to, they sent me to a place called MedHold, which is where they send people who are either going home or recovering from an injury before they can continue with basic training. So they put me in this dorm with all people that were going home, and they were all sorts of different kinds of people. Whether they had a peanut allergy that they found out about and decided they need to get sent home, or to something much more serious. It was an interesting dorm to be in. I made some friends there. I still talked to a little bit, but at the same time, those were the most miserable 2 weeks of my life, waiting to get out of there. I thought I was dying every single day. Every single day got worse and worse. The closer I got to going home, the harder it was, because it just felt like I wasn't going to make it. And it's the crazy part to me that I still have a hard time wrapping my head around, is that it was all in my head, you know, that it was all self-induced, and I have no idea how, you know. It was just absolutely wild. I just can't believe it. So anyways, they finally send me home, you know, and I think, okay, things are going to get better, you know, immediately. In my head, I'm like, they had told me so many times. I had gone to the urgent care center while at MedHold like 3 times, and they told me it was just anxiety. So I keep thinking, maybe as soon as I get home, I'll start to feel better, you know, I'll go back to normal. I didn't go back to normal, not for a while. And I was still extremely scared. And they eventually, my parents took me to get MRI done, and the test came back, you know, fine. I was completely fine. It was all in my head. And I struggled with that information, but I think it helped, because shortly after, you know, I got back to working, got back to normal life a little bit, and I started to feel normal again for the most part. And, you know, I don't think my life has ever been truly the same since I went to the Air Force basic training, but I've learned to adjust. So, you know, life finally started to get a tad bit normal until I decided to move to San Diego, which, again, for the first couple of weeks was absolutely amazing. But, you know, and maybe it's separation anxiety from my family. I really don't know. I can't explain it, because I wasn't nervous about anything. I didn't feel scared necessarily until I started having panic attacks. And it was bad, but this time it started to affect, you know, my stomach. And that was really painful. And I did not enjoy that to the slightest. So, it was a pretty miserable experience for a while, but I got back on medication. And it was good. I mean, I actually started to really enjoy living out there. I started to feel normal again after about 3 weeks. And, you know, I stopped having panic attacks consistently. It was very rare, and if it was very short. So it was good. And now I moved back to Michigan, where I'm from, and I'm back to living with my parents, sitting in my room in the basement, making this podcast, because I want to talk about something that I think affects many Americans today, not just Americans, forget I said that, many people in the world today, which is, you know, mental health disorders. Now, I never was diagnosed with depression, But my mom has depression. My grandma has depression. My, you know, grandpa, a lot of people in my family have depression. And though I never went to a doctor, there were many, many days and points in my life since I was diagnosed with anxiety where I would go stretches, not being able to drag myself out of bed in the morning. When I failed like all my classes one semester because I could not get myself out of bed to go to class in the morning. And the thing is, I kept telling myself I was just lazy, you know, and I kept telling myself that saying maybe I was depressed was an excuse. But truth be told, I was miserable. I truthfully think I was depressed and just didn't want to acknowledge it. So, you know, I can't say I can completely relate to people with depression because I don't fully know if that's what that was, because I never went to see anybody about it. I never talked about it, but I was in a really low point. You know, I cried a couple times during that point. Like, I don't cry usually, but around that time I did. And so, you know, I've been through the depths of anxiety and panic disorder and back, and I'm pretty sure I've experienced a little bit of depression. So I want people who are listening to this to know that I can relate to you. You know, you're not going through this alone. That's the one thing I had to keep telling myself many times, is that I wasn't the only one. And I think that a lot of people find that very hard to do, is to realize that they're not the only one going through that. You know, when somebody has a panic attack, anxiety attack, you know, in the moment, you feel so isolated and you feel like you're the only one in the world that understands what's happening to you. And sometimes it really just helps to take a step back and remember that people get through the same thing every single day. People make it out of those same situations every single day. You know, so many people go through similar things on a daily basis and yet still find a way to be productive in their lives. And that's what I want to make this podcast about, is finding a way to overcome a debilitating anxiety disorder or depression or any mental illness for that matter, to make your life something that you truly want, to overcome the debilitating factor. And you're not going to overcome anxiety, you're not going to overcome depression, but you can push past that part that holds you back. You know, you can fight it to the point where you control it. It doesn't control you, if that makes sense. And I've, over 3.5 years or so, I've learned, you know, I've learned how to do this. So not completely. I've still got a long ways to go, but I'm working on it. I'm working on myself, and I want to help others work on themselves as well. Now, maybe future podcasts are going to be longer than this. I didn't really plan this one out. I just kind of spoke, you know, out of random from the head. But I really wanted to get this out there, get this started, and see if I could, you know, reach anybody. I want to create a network of people who understand each other, because I feel like it's so hard to know who understands what you're going through and who doesn't. So I just figure it would be so nice to have a network of people you can talk to all the time, who are, you can become close with, even if you've never met them, just through the internet, just talk to when things are hard, who truly understand what you're going through and can relate to you and sympathize and empathize. Because sometimes people just, no matter how hard they want to, can't feel what you're feeling. So it would just be nice to find somebody who truly understands it. So that's my end goal with this, is to, you know, create a network of people somehow or another that can really, you know, help each other. So I'm going to cut this one off here. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully I'll catch you listening to the next one. Have a great night.